Hello, believers. Welcome to a retro episode of Just Praise Him Radio, back when it was called Wings Radio. I had originally planned to re-record this series, but at this point, I just cannot foresee having the time to get that done. I hope you enjoy it. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Wings Radio program. I'm your host, Glenda Linkus, and this week we're continuing our series, Hindrances on the Pathway to Promotion. Test from the story of Joseph. This week is test number 5, the sin test. The sin test is a test of whether you will choose right or wrong, even if it is unlikely anyone else would know. Our example is in the story of Joseph, is found in Genesis 39:12. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Joseph's boss, Potiphar, was captain of Pharaoh's guard. 39:1 says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither." The Encyclopedia Judaica calls Potiphar a courtier and a chief steward of Pharaoh. The sale of Joseph into slavery in this manner, it says, accords with what is known from 18th century slave inventories, which well document the commercial traffic in human misery between Canaan and Egypt. It also notes that Potiphar is generally regarded as an abbreviated form of Potiphera, which appears in Egyptian sources as Potipare, he whom the sun god Re has given. The title chief steward or chief cook corresponds to cuisinier, which came to designate those who served as superintendents and judicial functionaries in pharaonic court. In this new situation, Joseph is soon promoted to personal attendant for Potiphar, who had learned that Joseph could be trusted and relied upon. However, that apparently put him in contact with Potiphar's wife, who saw the legendary beauty of Joseph and desired him physically. I did some research weeks ago on Joseph, and I can't remember where I found it, and I couldn't find it again. But there was some legend somewhere that said that Joseph was as beautiful and as perfect as an angel, and his beauty was just legendary. His physical perfection was legendary. Joseph was manager of all the affairs of Potiphar. Potiphar's wife wanted Joseph and had been trying to get his attentions for some time when this happened. Genesis 39, starting in verse 1. "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field." And you know, from these two verses, Joseph found grace in Potiphar's sight means that God gave Joseph favor with Potiphar and in his house. "And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught that he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, 'Lie with me.' But he refused and said unto his master's wife, 'Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath into my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?' And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. And there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, 'Lie with me.' And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out." She had apparently grabbed him in a way that he couldn't get away any other way but to leave his robe behind. It is very possible Joseph could have committed this sin with Potiphar's wife, who may have been very beautiful, without anyone ever finding out. But his concern was not with whether it would be found out, was it? He refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Scripture clearly shows that Potiphar's wife tried again and again to seduce Joseph. He tried his best to avoid her, but he could not avoid her and still perform his duties. The Jewish antiquities of the historian Josephus indicate that Potiphar's wife was in love with Joseph and thought he would be glad to lie with her, and that Joseph hoped when he clearly told her there was no hope of her getting her desires, that she would conquer them, which he encouraged her to do. He hoped that when he said, "Look, I'm not going to do this," that she would say, "Okay, I just got to get over this." Josephus indicates that there was a public festival coming in which it was the custom for women to come to the public ceremony, and she pretended to her husband that she was ill so that she could look for an opportunity to tempt Joseph again, and that as she did, she said it would have been good for him to have yielded to her the former time. She said, "Look, it would be better for you if you had told me yes last time," because that he should revere her position as his master's wife, and because her passion for him bade her to condescend beneath her dignity because he was a slave, and that basically she was giving him a chance to right that former wrong, that she preferred his company to the pleasures of the festival, and that if he would submit to her, he could enjoy even more advantages than he already had, and that she even threatened to accuse him if he should refuse her, which she later did. Now, this is all written in Josephus. Josephus was a very well-known historian, known to be extremely accurate. It should be noted, however, that Potiphar saw, quote, that the Lord was with Joseph. That's shown in Scripture. Though he himself was a sun worshiper, he must have been a pretty smart man, because he realized that God was with Joseph, and also that he had known or suspected that Joseph was not guilty of the attempted rape of his wife that she accused him of, or else he would have had him killed, not just put in prison. Any time you are being considered for promotion by the Lord, you will be given the sin test. It may come in any one of a variety of forms. It came to me before in the form of receiving items in orders that had not been paid for. When I lived across town in the old house, I had ordered some office supplies, and when the order came in, it had some items in it that I did not order that had not been paid for. Clearly, I could have kept the items and no one had been the wiser, right? But I called the office supply company and I waited on hold and waited and waited. And finally, I got somebody who, after sounding very surprised, said, "Ma'am, you can just keep those items." So then I was free to keep them and enjoy. And this happened to me not once, but two or three times in a row. Just weeks later, it kept happening. Like with Joseph, you will be given the sin test numerous times. You need to pass it multiple times to show the Lord that you will choose his ways over sin every time, and that he can trust you with the promotion that he has for you, not to shame him by sinning after you get it for some simple pleasure or item. There is another story in the Bible, more than one actually, but this one we're going to talk about, where the person in question did not resist sin, and it had consequences. Joshua 6:18, "And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it." This story is in Joshua chapter 7, the story of Achan, the son of Carmi. "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for there are but a few." They're saying, there's not very many people in the town, so we don't need to take the whole army. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. The men of Ai chased them out. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves again tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarites, and he brought the family of the Zarites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out in the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Achor means trouble, or causing trouble. And that's exactly what sin does. It causes us trouble. We need to withstand temptation and not do the sin to achieve our promotions from the Lord. We need to make the better choice. Choose wisely. Choose for our future and not the instant gratification of right now that is so popular in today's culture. When we choose the right choice over instant gratification choice, others may frown on us because they want us to be like them. But God has called us up higher. He has called us to more. There's an African-American man listening to this show. You are truly a man of God, but I see two women in your life. Two lovely ladies, both who love you. You are married to one and dallying with the other. I believe you are in a position of ministry. The Lord is saying to you today, I see the sin, my son, and I will ignore it no longer. Stop the sin now or it will be exposed and you will not escape unscathed. Do it today. I see that your wife is something of a complainer, and this other woman is more cheerful, and you're drawn to her because of that. Do not let this warning slip by. The Lord means what he says, and he does not shout warnings. He whispers them. So as I was saying, our choice to choose right and walk in integrity and excellence will not be popular in all our circles. But let's not be affected by that. Let me share an illustration with you. An umpire named Babe Pennelly once called Babe Ruth out on strikes. When the crowd booed with sharp disapproval at the call, the legendary Ruth turned to the umpire with disdain and said, "There's 40,000 people here who know that the last pitch was ball, tomato head." Suspecting that the umpire would erupt with anger, the coaches and players braced themselves for Ruth's ejection. However, the cool-headed Pennelly replied, "Maybe so, Babe, but mine is the only opinion that counts." We as believers need to realize that God's judgment is the only opinion that counts and resist the temptation to sin or to argue over disappointments with him. We need to rely on his sovereign choices for us, regardless of whether they seem right or popular to us or to others at the moment. Living right is about doing what's right. It's not doing what's easy. We know what is the right thing to do. The tough part is in the doing of it. C.S. Lewis once said, "Integrity is doing the right thing even when no one is watching." What good is it if you learn how to do right, but you never do it? James 4:17 says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is sin." Sometimes you may get weary of being the only one who's trying to do right in your family or among your coworkers. But you know what? Just keep doing it. The rewards are very great. People who do what is right have far fewer things to worry about than those who just do what they please. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Jesus answered and said unto a man in John 14:23, "If a man love me, he will keep my words. If you love me, keep my commandments. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." God has promised his very presence to those who love and obey him. Don't ever say you can't resist this or that temptation, because that is lying. The Word of God says that there is no temptation we cannot resist. There are people who say they can't give up fornication or pornography or drugs. That is a lie that is exalting itself against the truth of God's Word. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." So he will always make an escape hatch. You have to look for the escape hatch to get out of the situation. Does that mean it will be easy? No. In fact, it will probably be very difficult at first. It's kind of like building a muscle. When you first start working out and you haven't been working out, your muscles hurt really, really, really bad because you're pushing them against resistance. Well, your resisting temptation muscle is very weak, and as you push against the temptation, it's going to hurt at first. And you might be sore for a while because you really wanted to give in to that temptation, but you keep pushing against it and keep pushing against it, and eventually that muscle builds strength. And then it becomes easier and easier and easier, and soon it just becomes second nature. You just get used to doing it. So don't be discouraged if resisting temptation is very difficult right now. The more you do it, the easier it gets to do. And God will help you, and he will empower you to resist those temptations. And he'll give you revelations, too, as you're doing it. James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." To submit yourself to God means, okay, Lord, I put all the consequences of this on you. I'm going to do what you say, and I'm going to trust you with the results of it. Resist the devil. No, devil, I'm not going to do that. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I am not going to commit fornication. I'm not going to commit adultery, or whatever the temptation is. And the devil will flee from you because he knows you've got the word in you and you're going to fight him. As we go forth into our destinies, it is important to remember that opportunity knocks once, but temptation has a lot more patience. It will knock again and again and again. It will keep knocking until Jesus comes back. Let's pass the test and make our Abba Daddy proud. By the way, Loose from Chains of Darkness has been edited and it is available again for purchase. There is a link under a video about that on YouTube where you can purchase it right away, or it'll be available in about 3 to 5 days on Amazon.com in print version. It's already out there in Kindle version. Thanks for listening. God bless you. Y'all have a great week. I hope you enjoyed this retro episode of Just Praise Him Radio, which used to be Wings Radio. Join me again next week for more Just Praise Him Radio. God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write the Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax. Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 is a collection of 58 short inspirational readings that will uplift, comfort, and encourage readers from every walk of life. Sidewalk Flowers includes inspirational tales and topics taken from the lives of everyday people who exhibited extraordinary wisdom, kindness, and courage while traveling the sidewalks of life. Get your copy of Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 today, available in print and new audiobook. Sidewalk Flowers, Volume 1 by Glenda Lomax, available on Amazon.com in print or new audiobook.
There is no one on earth who has not been wronged at some time in their life. Everyone has a story to tell. Everyone has been hurt by someone. The pain you have suffered does not make you special. It is what you do with that pain that sets you apart. Life can make you bitter or it can make you better. You choose. The only difference between the two is the I.